unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That's our reading from the Word of God. Here we have a very interesting situation. The Lord Jesus is in the temple, and the scribes and the Pharisees, they bring a woman to him who is without a doubt, it is constituted that she is in open sin. I know there's more to it than that, and we'll come back to that in a minute. But they have caught a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. She can't deny it. There's no getting around it. There's no excuse. There's no way that she can say that it wasn't true. She's been caught in the very act, and they bring her to the Lord Jesus. But incidentally, what's lacking? If this woman was caught in the act of adultery, where's the man? It was obvious that this was a trial case. They didn't want the man. They didn't really even want the woman condemned. They simply wanted the Lord Jesus to say something out of place. And they had him. From a natural point of view, this is an impossible, inescapable situation. Should the Lord Jesus turn and say, Let her go? You've broken the law of Moses. And they would turn upon him. Had he said, stone her, then they would have reported him to the authorities as one who was introducing his own law and going against the law of the land. But just the same, what an interesting case. A woman. She's in adultery. Had she been like most, had it been with anyone else but the Saviour possibly, she would have turned and said to the accusers, Where's the man? But she's in the presence of the Son of God. And in the light of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, although the case is shaky, although the case is impossible to prove, her own conscience tells her that this is real and it can't be denied. So many people in the world, maybe there's someone here even this evening, and you would stand before me, you would look me, you would look others in the face and say, I've never sinned. I've never done anything that is wrong. I've never broken God's laws, not in a great way. Little blinders, perhaps. Wee lies. Maybe some disobedience. But nothing really great. I've never killed anyone. I've never robbed anyone. I've never really done anyone any great harm. So many people say, I don't kill. I don't steal. I've never really hurt anyone. But the Word of God tells us that all have sinned. And when we come to understand the reality of the situation of my condition, your condition before the God of heaven, then we must bow and acknowledge that we have sinned. We must recognize that there is no possibility of escaping from this. The eye of the Savior is not like human eyes. The Word of God tells us that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Man might look on the outwards of you and say, well, you're a respectable person. You go to church regularly, or you go along to the gospel hall in ministry, or you attend Sunday school, or you read your Bible, you pray, you do this, you do that, and in man's eyes, you may appear to measure up and be quite all right, quite reasonable. But there's nothing that is hidden from the eye of the God of heaven. And he knows your heart through and through. I wonder, is there a time in your life when you've ever got down before God and said, God, I've tried to hide it. I've tried to cover it up. I've tried to dismiss it. I've tried to pretend. But I can't go on with this any longer. I have to admit that I am a sinner. And I'm exposed to judgment. And I'm not right with you. And I'm not on my way to heaven. And I'm not as perfect as I would like to be. And in fact, I'm a sinner. And I'm guilty. I'm undone. See, years ago, there was a man, King David, in the Old Testament. This man had sinned against God in a very grave way. In fact, he had done just what this woman was accused of doing. He committed adultery. Then the prophet comes to him. The man of God comes to him with a story about a man having 100 sheep. And there's another man, he's only got one little lamb and has grown up with him in the house and almost been like a daughter to him. Then a visitor comes to the rich man with 100 sheep. And instead of taking one of his own sheep to kill it and give him some food, he goes and takes the one man's lamb. David the king, he says, he's unjust, that person. He must die. Then the man of God turns around to him and says, David, you're the man. You're the guilty one. You condemn a man like that to death, and you have committed a crime even more serious. And that's just the same today. People here right in this very street, people right in this very suburb of Mornington, in the city of Dunedin, justify themselves. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I have done this. I have done that. And they have done worse. They should be killed. They should be burned. They should be judged. They should be condemned to hell. But I'm not too bad. Well, God doesn't put it like that. God doesn't say that I'm not too bad or you're not too bad. God says that I, that you, that every one of us, without an exception, without any difference, we stand all equal. What? Guilty. Sure, there are grades of sin. But that's not the subject here. You see, when the Bible says there is no difference for all have sinned, it's not speaking about how much or how deep you've sinned. It's speaking about the fact of sin. Some have sinned more than others. But one single sin is enough to keep me out of heaven. One single little sin is enough to bar the way for me to be in heaven. And I can never be in heaven with one single sin that's not forgiven. So it's pointless me saying, I've only got one sin and you've got 10. I've only got two sins and they've got 100. Well, that doesn't change the fact. That one sin. One sin. One. Just one. But just think about today. Did you get through the day without one single sin? I doubt it. And even if you did, what about yesterday's? What about last week's? What about last year's? What about the sins that are hidden? What about the sins that people don't know about? What about the sins that were committed in the dark? What about the sins that you've forgotten? Here's a woman in front of the Savior. No self-justification. No standing up, but. No. Not a single word comes from the lips of this woman. Well, I know the others were hypocritical, yes. And I know that they went out one by one, but the Savior could say to them, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And the oldest goes. And the next one goes. And one by one they go out. Oh, says the woman now. Huh? They've all fled. I'm the best of them. No, she doesn't. They've all gone. Every single one of them has had their conscience smitten. They have been convicted that they are not without sin. They cannot accuse her, and yet they have gone out from her. And the woman still doesn't utter one word of self-justification. You see where we're getting? You forget about the neighbors. You forget about the degraded. Forget about the depraved. Forget about the prisoners. Forget about the drug addicts. Forget about the alcoholics. Forget about the robbers. Forget about the murderers. And they've all committed their sins, and they will face the God of heaven. They will be judged. But that's not the issue just now. The issue is you. I'm not called upon to answer for your sin. And you're not called upon to answer for my sin. This is every person for himself or herself. This is each and every individual. And every soul has gone out from the presence of the Savior. And there's still not a word of self-justification. Incredible. Conscience is smitten. When the man of God said to David, thou art the man, David immediately said, I have sinned. Have you ever done that? Have you ever got down before the God of heaven, whether literally on your knees or not, but bowed your head, bowed your heart before the God of heaven, and said, God, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. That's the one we heard about last night, isn't it? Didn't justify himself. He didn't come home to his father that's prodigal and say, Dad, I'm sorry. I got into some bad company, and you know, the boys put the pressure on me, and they dared me that I wouldn't be game to do it, and they encouraged me, and they even got me drunk, and they spiked my drink, and they drugged me, and I did think, no, he didn't come home like that at all. He comes home, and I think he comes home with his head down. Or he may have gone away a very proud, arrogant, wealthy young man. Very self-sufficient. I'm out of here. I'm finished with this place. I'm finished with restriction. It's life now. And he comes home, I feel he comes home with his head down. And the old clothes weren't very good looking. And I can tell you the deodorant wasn't very pleasant. Big muck. Nothing to boast of. That's the only way you can come into the presence of the God of heaven. That's the only way that you can get salvation, is to come with all your sin and own it just as it is. It's sin. It's wrong. It's against God. It's transgression. It's breaking His law. And here's a woman, and she's committed adultery, but it's all right. Everyone does that. No, it's not. Everyone might do it, but it doesn't make it right. And she's sinned. David says, I have sinned. I think this woman feels too guilty even to do that. She just bows with her head. Or the others have been smitten in their conscience. Once they thought that they were better than she. Once they assumed that they were okay. They didn't commit adultery. I wonder how many of them had looked on a woman and lusted after her in their hearts. They didn't commit adultery. I wonder how many of them were just swamped with pride and arrogance and self-sufficiency. I'll make it, God. I'll get to heaven. I'm a good person. I know my Bible. I'm religious. The Savior had just stooped down as if he didn't hear these people and wrote on the ground. I wonder what he wrote. I wonder, did he write, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. I wonder, did he write, that which is of the earth, our bodies, is earthy. It belongs to earth. And it's as dirty and as stained as dirty mud is. Someone has once suggested maybe the Lord Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, the law came by Moses. And the law, Moses commanded in the law she should be stoned. The Savior says to her when the ball gone out and he lifts himself up. But he lifted himself up first, didn't he? And he said, if you're without sin, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Then he stoops down again. And someone said, I wonder then, did he write, grace and truth has come by Jesus Christ. I don't know what he wrote. But they were smitten in their conscience. They've gone out. Where are thine accusers, he says to the woman. Has no man condemned thee? No man, but. So the Savior says, all right, obviously your sin's not that bad. Go on living the way you were. Now he doesn't, does he? The blessed Savior in loving grace says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. Why did he say that? Why? Because the law of Moses had already condemned her. She was condemned. There was no need for the Savior to condemn the woman. She stood condemned. The word of God was against her. The law of God was against her. Her sin was obvious. Her sin was recognized. Her sin was known. There was no escape from it. The Savior didn't need to condemn her. And the Savior is not here tonight to condemn you. Why? Because you as well, just as I stood condemned. The Savior is here tonight not to condemn you, That condemnation came the very moment that sin came into the world. Thou shalt surely die. Dying thou shalt die. And death and sin and degradation came into the world. That moment that Adam disobeyed the word of God, and there's no escape from it, but God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Would you like to be saved? Are you interested in being saved? Or are you playing at being saved? Sometimes I'd like to be saved. But there are other things in life. I'd really like to finish up in heaven, but I don't know that I want to live a Christian life. I'd like to have my sins forgiven, but to live a Christian life, such a boring, dull, dreary life, and people would laugh at me, and some would mock at me. I tell you, friends and relatives might mock and laugh you into hell. They'll never laugh you out again. Now, don't let friends take you into hell. They're not friends. A true friend will be interested in your well-being. But men and women and young people that don't know the Savior are not interested in your well-being because they're not interested in their own well-being. How can they be interested in your spiritual welfare? How can they be interested in your eternity when they couldn't care two hoots about eternity? Some of them just laugh at it. We're all going into death. We're all heading for death. We're all heading for eternity. Whereas some of them even say, we're all on our way to hell. She'll be a great party. Oh, they talk like that. They might talk like that now in life. They won't speak like that when they come face to face with reality. Never. Or to think of it. A young man said to me in Australia, in the north years ago, nah, I'm not interested in that stuff. I said, but you're going to die one day. When I'll take it as it comes. I'm a true blue Aussie. If it rains, I take it in a rainy day. If it's dry, I take a dry day. If it's hot, will come a hot day. If it's cold, will come a cold day. When death, will it come as it comes. Oh, I said, sir, you can speak like that now in health and strength. You come face to face with death. It's going to be very, very different. But too late. The Savior says to this woman, neither do I condemn thee. I'm willing to forgive you. I'm ready to forgive you. I'm about to die in order that your sin might be forgiven. But go and sin no more. Oh, says simply some people, all you've got to do is trust Christ. And then you can live as you like. In one sense, that's very true. My salvation doesn't depend on how I live, doesn't depend on my life, it doesn't depend on my faithfulness. But if I think that we can trust Christ and live anyhow we like, we've never known delivering divine grace in our life. Go and sin no more, he says. What a change. She was brought to the Savior. You remember, as we've looked through John, Nicodemus came looking for the Savior. Chapter 4, the Lord Jesus went looking for the man that was lying at the gate. The multitudes came to him. Some came confused. Some came thinking this. Some came with their preconceived ideas. Here's a woman. And the Savior didn't go looking for her. And she didn't go looking for him. She got dragged to the Savior. But when she came face to face with him, she was smitten in her conscience. She recognized her need and listened to such lovely words. We were thinking last night that never man spake like this man. Well, no man ever spoke like this man either. This is the same man. Neither do I condemn thee. I'll forgive you. Go sin no more. God wants to speak that into your heart tonight. The Lord Jesus would love to say those words to you. But before he does, you'll have to bow and acknowledge your sin, repent, and believe the gospel. And Jesus Christ is willing and is able to save your soul. Thank you.